good day for us yesterday. Talked to Coach O'Brien again this morning. Kind of a similar, a little different, but pretty similar format today. Really good work. Texans are they're a good football team. Obviously very well coached and very well, good fundamentally. So certainly a lot of things we corrected from yesterday and need to work on. But it's good work. We got better. We improved. And still got a long way to go. But it's a good day for us. So looking forward to today here.
How close is their tempo to your tempo to what you guys practice with?
Yeah, probably pretty close. I mean, I don't think we really had any issues out there. And, you know, trying to keep the players on their feet, you know, competing hard but staying up. Thought, you know, both teams gave good effort. There's some good competitive drills. So, yeah, I think the tempo was good.
Coach, you talked last week about quarterback mechanics. How hard do you think accuracy is to coach, and do you think it's a coachable trait?
Well, I think you can improve it. You know, it's like a lot of things. You can improve them. Like you can improve speed, you can improve strength, but I mean, there's sometimes limits based on the mechanics. So, but you know, we try to work to improve all our fundamentals, no matter what they are. Some players have a higher ceiling than others.
Bill, some of the Texans players were remarking about how Tom Brady, his longevity, how remarkable that is for them, and just your thoughts on kind of, you know, how Tom's been able to maintain what he's done for so long.
I think that's, you know, probably a better question for Tom. But, you know, he's had a remarkable career performance and consistency. And you know, he's done a great job for us. We're lucky to have him.
You seem to have some fairly famous guests over there, coaches. Are you picking brains back and forth? Or?
Yeah, we brought in a couple big righties from the bullpen. Can really throw hard in closers. Tony's been a great friend, Buzz Bissinger, who wrote his book, and I went to high school together, so, you know, we had some mutual friends, and it's been great too. My relationship with Tony's been great, and learned a lot from somebody as accomplished as he is in another sport. Never forget the time that he let me get in a dugout with him for an exhibition game, and just, you know, so many. You know, baseball, it seemed, you know, just throw it and hit it, but there's a lot more to it than that. So I saw how much there is on every single pitch and the focus, concentration, and all that. So plus, Tony has a lot of Spanish-speaking guys. He can speak Spanish, so I'd be in trouble in baseball.
Bill, could you see, like, he was kind of ahead of his time as far as, you know, the role of the bullpen, pitching changes and stuff. Could you see, you know, maybe relate to him mind-wise as far as some of the things that he looks at and when he studies and analyzes a game or a sport?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, different sports, but, you know, Tony's very progressive, you know, had a great career as a manager. You know, won a couple thousand games. I can't imagine what that's like, but must be pretty good. but, yeah, he's, again, we've, you know, talked a lot about coaching teams, coaching players, dealing with different situations. He's been in a lot of big games, a lot of championships, World Series. Things like that, different organizations. So he's been, he's helped me a lot, give me a lot of insight.
What were your impressions, that's just one day, with Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson working against your defense?
Those guys? Yeah, again, Texans have a lot of good players. They're a very talented team. You know, honestly, I'm just trying to focus more on getting our team to perform as well as they can, I'm trying to coach them the best of my ability. I know Coach O'Brien's doing the same with his team. So really, it's more about us getting better than spend a lot of time, you know, trying to critique everybody on the other side of the ball. We got enough to work on our side.
When Vrabel was playing for you, could you tell that he was going to be a successful coach in the league?
Well, Mike had a lot of great qualities as a player. So, yeah, I mean, no surprise. You know, Mike played defense, played a lot of positions on defense, played everything in a kicking game, and also did a lot for us on offense, playing tight end and a lot of short yardage situations. He could call signals. He had great leadership. So multi-year captain. So, you know, his leadership, his presence, his communication, awareness, situation awareness, in addition to just, you know, being a good football player. But those things were, you know, traits that carry over into coaching. And Mike's, you know, one of the physically and mentally toughest players I've ever coached. So I'm sure that'll serve him well in this profession too. There's times when you need that.
Bill, Tom Green here as well. What's been your relationship with Tom?
Yeah, you know, I've had an opportunity to spend a lot of time with Tom. Watched him in Indiana. He allowed me to come and watch practice and spend time with his organization, with his team. Again, different sport, but I learned a lot from his organization. You know, we speak pretty frequently. Different, you know, motivation, teaching. You know, coaching's coaching, even though the sports are different. Players are players, and different things you can do to help him. You know, he's a very progressive guy.
Have you ever taken drills from these practices that are hosted by the other team and kind of adopted them for your own? I ask just because that punt drill yesterday seemed a little unique.
Yeah, we sure do. Sometimes drills are, if we're involved in them, but sometimes even just watching another team do an individual drill or, you know, do something as in part of their part of the practice is separate from ours. Sometimes you sure can pick up something, pick up a drill or a coaching point or something that they do that, you know, a lot of times it's you're given the same message, but if you can say it differently or do it a little bit differently, it you know, has a little more impact than just doing the same thing over and over and over again, although there's a lot to be said for that too. So, yeah, picking up a new way or a new technique to do something that you believe in or that's a strong fundamental for you. It's certainly good.
You mentioned yesterday that Romeo did a lot for you in your career. Could you expand on that a little bit about what he's meant to you when you guys worked together?
You know, Romeo and I started together at the Giants in special teams. So he and I coached special teams together, and then we coached defensively together through 1990, worked at the Patriots together, then another team, and then, you know, back with the Patriots in 2001. So, you know, I relied on him through the years, both with our team when I worked with him, but even, you know, at times outside where we could help each other and it wasn't a conflict in competitiveness that... you know, he's helped me with a lot of things. I learned a lot from the way he handles players, teaches, fundamentals that he teaches, his preparation. I mean, Romeo works hard. He's very well prepared, sound football coach. You know, he doesn't necessarily try to out-scheme everybody, but his fundamentals and the basics and things you need to do to have a good football team and win are important. You know, when I was at New England in 2001, when you know, Coach Rabine died in preseason, and you know, Charlie and I handled the offense, and we were kind of handled the quarterbacks there. You know, turned the whole defense over to Romeo, and you know, I mean, that was a great year for us defensively in 2001, and so there's examples like that where I really leaned heavily on him, and he always came through. Really good football coach, good person, and did a great job of bringing along some of our younger coaches, coaches like Josh McDaniels and Brian Daboll, and guys like that that were on our staff that he taught and helped teach to become you know, great football coaches who have carried on his legacy and many of the fundamentals and beliefs that he has and has transferred to them.
Bill, in addition to today's guests, yesterday you had Jeff Hostetler here, and saw afterwards you introduced him to Tom. How would you describe him and the career that he had, what he meant to the
Giants? Jeff had a very unusual career. You know, he was a high draft choice, very productive player in college. You know, with the Giants, we had another good quarterback, and so he wasn't really able to get on the field at quarterback. So even though he eventually, you know, had a lot of success at that position, particularly in the 1990 season after Phil got hurt, and he led us to the Super Bowl 25 championship. When you look back earlier on Jeff's career, he blocked a punt, he caught a pass, he did those things before he ever threw a pass in the league. So, you know, I think that speaks to his versatility, his athleticism. and really his ability to compete and get on the field. When there wasn't a role for him in his primary position, he found other roles and ways to contribute to the team. You know, Jeff's really a tough kid, and again, went on to have a great career, you know, with the Giants and then later with the Raiders. So he was always a hard guy to compete against, but you know, you don't see a lot of quarterbacks come in and especially like that, and that had the kind of career that he had, and do other things before they play quarterback. But that's, you know, and that was very resourceful by Coach Parcells to, you know, to get that, to see that, and to, you know, Ray Lucas is another guy that did that. Bill got that from Ray, so that was certainly one of the things that, you know, I learned from Bill about, you know, being resourceful and taking advantage of the skills of the players that are on your roster and using them however you can use them to help you win. But Jeff, you know, did obviously was a great quarterback, but the way he started his career, you know, I think that's a great lesson to all young players, and I've certainly shared that with our team, and that was, you know, a great example of the teamwork that we had at the Giants in those years.
Bill, when you have an experienced player like Hightower miss a significant chunk of the summer, is there an expectation that he'll pretty much be caught up when he gets back just because of the fact he's been in the system for 5 years?
Well, every year is a new year for all of us, so we all have to go through the process of getting our performance level up to the highest we can in this particular season. So, and we all face that challenge, every player, every coach. So a lot of guys are in different situations and different circumstances, but you know, we all have to go through the same process, whatever those circumstances are. So I know Dante's working hard. He's doing what he can do, and when he's ready to do more, which he has already this year, then he'll do more and he'll move ahead when he's ready. And that's, you know, we'll just have to see what that time frame brings.
Bill, I know yesterday you gave your team a history lesson just about the history around this facility and the bunker below. What have you seen your team gain out of this experience from a team building standpoint?
Well, I mean, anytime you travel on the road as a team, you know, particularly to a location like this, it gives your team an opportunity to form closer bonds and do things together and experience things together that are a little bit different than when you're at home and everybody has a home to go home to. Here, our home is a very nice one at the Greenbrier, but we're all together. And so it gives us all an opportunity, coaches, players, and the intermingling of the two and other staff members to know each other a little better, work together, and certainly the history and you know, what you know, what Mr. Justice did last year. I don't know, you know, really how you could give a better example of the teamwork that and the unselfishness that he showed during the floods to take in so many people from these communities, to feed them, to give them shelter, to provide medical assistance, to you know, reach out and help people who needed help in a time that they needed it. You know, that's the kind of teamwork, unselfishness, and sacrifice that, you know, we all want to have in our lives and have on our teams. And so this is a great example for all of us in our organization, players and coaches, to see and appreciate. And that's a great, great lesson to be here on a number of levels.
Final question, guys. Bill, you mentioned Hightower. For some of the newer
I didn't mention him. I was asked that question. You guys brought it up.
For some of the newer guys, how challenging is it for them, if they're missing time, to kind of make up for whatever they're missing if they're not out there?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, one of the challenges of training camp. You know, no pads in the spring, so you only have so many padded practices and preseason games at this time of year, and each one that's missed is an opportunity to improve on the field. But that doesn't, what we can't do, we can't let what we can't do take away from what we can do. So the things that we can do in terms of training or whatever drills or learning experience we can gain. We have to try to gain as much as we can. And then when the opportunity comes to do the things that we can't do, we have to be able to take advantage of that. So, look, it's not the first time a player's ever missed a practice in training camps. Let's not act like this is, you know, a historical event. Every team deals with it every year, but you do the best you can with it. You work through that player's individual circumstances and where your team is, and you do the best that you can with the opportunities that you have.